Parables are pictures. Parables were actually like object lessons. And some of the messages that I remember 30 years ago is because someone brought in an object lesson or painted a picture that I saw. So occasionally, Sherry and I bring up the object lessons, okay? But they stick to you, such as David Fleming last Sunday morning. If I said, bring a bag of ice, do you know his message? You got it. He told a story very specific with a just amazing. So they help you remember. So that's why here, I'm not thinking you're all second grade. They help you remember. I need some help remembering. All right, let's start with prayer. Father God, we come to you. We look to you. You're our everything. You're the source. You're the abundance. You have all good things for us. And we look to you and we thank you that you've given us your word. You've given us your word. Everybody got your word? Hold it up. You've given us this word. And in this word is words of life for every area of our life. And we thank you for it. We thank you today that this word would be just revealed so simply that it would be planted in our heart and that we would be changed as we leave here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Yay! Amen! Amen! Okay. Golly wee, gee whiz, where do I start here? So, we're finishing our series on the armor of God. And what we found out is as long as you live on this planet, until you get your checkout orders, as long as you live in this planet, you're going to have hiccups, bumps in the roads, battles, attacks, trials, whatever you want to call it. Anybody have one just getting here today? Just getting here today, you can have it. All right. But the good news is that God has given everybody armor. And it's Ephesians 6, if you just want to open your Bibles, that's where we're going to stay today. In Ephesians 6, he says, I love you so much that I've given you armor to protect you. Yay! Armor to protect you because there's some battles going on in your life. Joanne, I was remembering when we were in Haiti, and you talk about battles, attacks, hiccups, bumps in the road, potholes. They had potholes as big as the car. Okay? And I was thinking on that. They were as big as the car. It was hysterical. Get around there. But I was thinking about that. There are some days I feel like the battle is as big as the car. It's just really rough. All right? But I go, wait a minute. My God has provided armor for me. So I'm protected from those big old potholes and the attacks. And that's good. So today when you leave, I want two things to happen. How to put on the armor and how to live a life protected. So we found out last week, and we're going to do it again. God gave you armor. Well, that's nice, but I need to know how to put it on, and then I need to know how to live protected with that armor. So it's just real simple what we're going to get out of here, and I believe it'll help you. I know it'll help you. It helps me. All right, so let me back up a little bit. We were talking about Ephesians 6, and this is when Paul was in prison. Paul was in prison when he wrote this. He wrote a lot of stuff in prison, all right? And he was writing it in prison because he didn't do anything wrong, all right? But he was writing, he was in prison, and he was watching these Roman soldiers every day. Every day he'd watch them. And he's like, the Lord said, smack, smack, pay attention. And he said, look, watch these Roman soldiers every day that walk by you. Every day, they're putting on this armor. So, you know, anybody ever have the Lord speak to you? And it's not, buddy, it's just these thoughts, okay? And I remember the first time, oh, that was the Lord speaking to me. So the Lord was speaking to him, and he said, dude, look at these soldiers. He said, this is what I've given you to live like me with my armor so you're protected and you're victorious. So Paul sat down and wrote all these pieces of the armor. So that's kind of the background. Now, we're going to go over all seven of these pieces. And what I'm going to do, one, I'm going to list the armor. Two, I'm going to tell you if it's offensive armor or defensive armor. And the very first one and the only one is what we call neutral. And we did a whole lot of talk about that last week, but I'll just do you real quick. And then I'm going to talk about what kind of attack that you might have and why you need to use this piece of armor. Okay? All right. So, and how to put the armor on. That's what we're going to do. All righty. So, I remember the first time I read Ephesians 6, and they're going through this armor, and I'm thinking, oh, that's so cute. That's really nice. Helmet, shoes, breastplate, all that stuff. But then I thought, well, what do you do with this? So I thought, okay, so, all right, this is important. So what do I do? Okay, every morning I go, I put on the armor of God. Ta-da! Is that what I do with it? Or, okay, wait a minute, because I got a little OCD here. Okay, wait, I got to put this one on. Oh my gosh, what happens if I forgot one? Does that mean my whole day is going to be a mess? I got a little crazy thinking about this. I didn't know what to do. I knew this was important. Anybody else have a problem with this armor? What do I do? I did crazy years for a while. Every day I'd get up, I put on this, I put on that, and, you know, there was more to it, so... So the first piece of armor, if you're taking notes, and you all love to take notes, the first piece of armor is the loin belt. Okay, I grabbed an old belt out of the closet. I'm going to put it on. It's the first piece. It goes around my, it is the center of my being. Okay, it's the center. It's the first piece. And what does this have to do with you and me? Is this represents the Word of God. And everything has to be around this. Everything of your life, everything you do in your life should be around the belt of truth, the Word of God. All right? The belt of truth, the Word of God. All right? They all connect. And it's really interesting. Pretty much most of the pieces of armor that we're going to talk about connect to this. They clipped on, hooked on, and connected to it. So this is really important, all right? Now, what's this mean if I'm a Christian? The Word of God is first place. The Word of God is first place. This piece of armor represents the Word of God, and it has to be first place. You've got to put it on, all right? That means you have to open up your Bible, right? Oh, Pastor D, I bring my Bible once a week here. I come here once a week, and Pastor D, I bring my Bible. And when you say open up your Bible, I open up my Bible. Isn't that great? I'm really glad. I'm very glad. But the problem is that's not enough. This has to be a part of your daily life.
Or these pieces aren't going to do too good on you,
all right? Daily. Everybody say daily. Daily I put the Word in me, right? Now, the interesting thing we learned last week, just real quick, is that you probably put this piece, the belt, which was not real pretty, you put it on in private. So, you know, I'm kind of making it bigger than it is, but you'll get it. So if I put this on private, you know, nobody's seen me put this on. The rest of the stuff, maybe, you know, I go walking outside and I throw my hat on. But I put this on first, you know, in private. So what's that mean to me as a Christian? Right now, you're all here. And show me your Bibles. And we go, whoa, they're so spiritual. Look at them. They brought their Bibles today and they're reading them. Come Monday morning, none of you guys, you're not at my house. You better not be. I don't brush my teeth. That's my day off till like who knows when. And, you know, but in private, I get up every day and I put this Word in my life. All right? It's first place. All right, every day. So that's what it means, like in private. And you know, the funny thing is, nobody's tapping me on the shoulder or, you know, Adam. Oh, Adam, good job. It's Tuesday. You got your Bible out. Nobody does that to Adam. He's in private. He's at his house by himself. All right. So what do we put on first? The belt, which represents the truth, which is the Word of God. All right. Now, the attack that comes, it just comes. And if you do not have this Word in you first, everything in life starts falling apart. I have had a lot of life fall apart when this was not first in my life. So you are going to get attacked by the devil. That's his job. He keeps his job description perfectly, all right? Now, how do I do it? How do I do this? How do I put this piece of armor on? Now, you're looking at me visibly do this, all right? But, you know, this is a supernatural armor. How do I put this belt of truth on? You have to make this word of God something that you love more than anything else. You have to make the Word of God something that you love more than anything else. Oh, Pastor D, but I love my kids. And you grandparents, oh, I love my grandbabies more than anything else, Pastor D. Listen, you put this on first, and then you will really love those grandbabies because you will know how to pray for them, how to train them up, mom and dad, all right? So, yes, this becomes the most important thing that you do, right, more than anything else. Now, so that's how you wear your armor, all right? Next piece of armor is the breastplate. I guess I'm going to leave everything on here. This is going to be funny. All right, no photos. Okay, the breastplate. Number two, write that down, the breastplate. It is a defensive piece of armor. It protects you. When I say defensive, it protects you. Okay, I can't do this one. I'm sorry, guys. I'm just... You're not gonna. All right, I'll put it up here. Here we go. It's defensive. All right. Now, let me ask you this question. The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, have you ever done something, just maybe one thing you weren't supposed to? Both hands feet. All right, I have. All right, keep your hands raised up. I want your spouse to see you finally admit it. You make some mistakes. You're not perfect. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we've all done things that were not right. Right? Okay. And here's an example. How about, man, I really blew it yesterday, and I could tell you how I blew it. And I come into church, and they got this glorious, yes, glorious worship time going on. But, man, I really blew it yesterday. I want to raise my hand and worship my Savior, but, man, I can't believe what I did. And the shame comes on me, and I can't even stand up. Anybody ever had that happen to you? Long time ago, I had, but now I know something. So, the armor is the breastplate. The attack is the breastplate of righteousness. The attack is against your righteousness. Now, when you know your righteousness, it doesn't matter that you blew it. Because I go, God, I blew it. I'm sorry. Blessed be, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, okay? So what's the attack? Against your righteousness. Now, what is righteousness? Okay, real quick, mini lesson. Righteousness means you have a right to stand boldly, shoulders back, clean before the Lord, not because of you, but because of what Jesus did for you when he died on the cross. He gave you right standing. And I read this, months ago, and I got to talk. It's so good. I was like, it said, this gentleman, I don't even remember who I read. Okay, whatever. He said, you're not going to be more righteous when you get to heaven. Chew on that one. When you get to heaven someday, you are not going to be more righteous because you're in heaven. Jesus made you righteous when you received him. You don't get more. So sometimes, I'm so ashamed, you know what I did. Stick it. Don't listen to that. You are righteous. You can't earn it. You can't do anything for it. You can't say rosaries, man, I tried all that. I can't try to be great and pay money. You just can't do it. It's given to you. It's given to you. And all you do is receive it. That's your righteousness. All right. Everybody say, I'm not going to be more righteous. I am righteous, right? So the attack is against your righteousness. And the most important thing you'll ever learn as you start reading your Bible daily and studying is who you are. I've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You start learning who you are. You won't have one of those days, man, I don't even know if I'm a Christian anymore. I did the unpardonable sin. All right? You start knowing who you are and who you are. You've been made righteous. You won't have that happen. So I don't have that happen anymore. That one's gone. Okay, so how do I put on this armor? How do I put on this armor? Here it is. This breastplate of righteousness. Well, you got to go to the Word. You go to the Word and you look up like 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, that's me. Any woman be in Christ. I'm a new creature. Old things, all that old stuff, everything I ever did and going to make mistakes is passed away and I've been made new. And there's a bunch of them that says, I've been made righteous. Okay, so that's what you do. That's how you put your armor on for the attack. You go to the Word, you find out what it says, and then you say it. And then you come in. All right? So, I don't know where I am on these notes. It's a riot. All right. Everybody, you've been made righteous because of Jesus, all right? And, okay, piece number three, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. The Roman soldiers wore these sandals plus this other thing. I forgot the funny word for it. Sleeves? Greave. I know, it was a G word. Okay. Anyway, similar to like football cleats or Cassie's track spikes. I've been trying to get her to come home and get rid of this stuff. Been out of the house for years, okay, but it's fine. These are track spikes. What's the purpose of these spikes, like the Romans? That gave them stabilities. Now, theirs were 1 to 2 inches long, so it gave them stability when they walked. And where was I? I was down in Elkridge, Maryland. They have cobblestones. Oh, my gosh. I was like, don't come wearing high heels. It's a mess. But anyway, I'm on the page here. Pastor D, where are you? Okay. So these give me stability, these big spikes that they wore, and it helps you run faster. Okay, now, but what I didn't say, this piece of weaponry is offensive because if those spikes stepped on somebody who fell down, you're dead meat. Matter of fact, you're chopped meat. That's like, all right? So it became an offensive weapon to kill those spikes. If you're down on the ground, I'm stepping on you, sorry, all right? Now, what is the attack that's trying to come with the gospel shoes of peace? The attack is to steal your peace. The attack that the enemy will do is try to steal your peace, all right? And I know when I get there, you get a phone call. The test results from your mammogram comes back. Okay, or the principal, excuse me, it was the vice principal, Mrs., I knew her first name, I knew her voice. Hi, your kid's expelled. Okay, your peace kind of goes. Anybody lose the peace out the window? Can't find your peace? Can't find your peace, right? So the attack of the devil is to steal your peace. Am I the only one that's ever lost their peace? Miss Kathy grabs me all the time. Pastor D, knock it off. She can see the look that, you know, I'm going, I kind of go get overwhelmed, anxious, you know. All right. So, here's a good scripture for you. Turn over to, I don't know where it is. Ephesians, no. Yeah, Ephesians 2. Ephesians 2, 12. By the way, you know we're reading out of Ephesians 6, 10 through 18. And I was going to stand there and read it, but y'all just keep reading it, okay? All right, Ephesians 2:12. At that time, you were out of Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, underline this one, in Christ. All right, but now in Christ. But now, in Christ, you who were once far off have been brought near through the blood of Jesus. Verse 14, for he himself is our peace. Underline that. Who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation. Verse 17, I'm going to jump up there. And he came and preached peace to those who were far off and who are near. Okay. He is now your peace. Jesus came to make peace. Now, let me say that. That's another. No, say it this way. God was mad at us. All right? But Jesus came and made peace. He's not mad at me anymore. He's not mad at you. If I hear another person say, oh, I feel like God's mad at me, I'm going to rip their hair out. Read your Bible. God is not mad at you. All right? He's met you. You now have peace with God. Peace with God. Now the attack is to tell you, oh, God's mad at you. All right? So we have peace. Now write this down. Not only do we have peace, but guess what? You are carriers of peace. And Sherry just gave some really great examples. All right? So you have peace, you are carriers of peace, and then if you have peace and you are carriers of peace, guess what? You cause peace. So you should never walk home and the whole place is out of array. You go, no, I'm a child of God. My house has peace. All right? You shouldn't be, ugh. All right? Work. You should work in all hell. And you carry this peace in. And then you cause peace. You are not the drama queen. I could tell you stories. Okay. People that come in, Christians that come in, and they get around, you get around them. Who's that character, the Charlie Brown character that's got all that dust flying around? All right. Some people are like that. They're lying. I don't know. Yeah. Good. Okay, and they've got all this drama, and they're not peace when they come in. They are not peace. But listen, who are you? The righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you have peace, and you carry peace, and then you cause peace. All right. So an attack that comes is to steal your peace. All right, we have had wild weather. So you're watching a TV show, and then the little strip up here. From 8 o'clock to 12 o'clock, there's going to be severe thunderstorms and flooding, and you just keep watching that thing. It's trying to steal your peace. All right, so what do you need to do? You go to the Word of God, and you find out what God says. And God says, I have been given peace. I have peace. It's not going out the door. I have peace. All right? So when the thunderstorms, you're not all going, ah, screaming, running around, ah. All right? And you tell your babies, do not tell them those are the angels doing bowling balls in heaven. If I hear that, teach your kids the Word of God. Say, hey, God has given us our peace. We're not going to be afraid of this. Matter of fact, he gave us authority. All right? So I go, you know, and then, okay, so sometimes, you know, I put my hands up. I have God's peace. His peace is in me. I declare peace in my home and my property. Nothing will be damaged, okay? So I do that. And then I decide I start praying for my neighbors because their one tree is really close. Although I'm going to pray for them too, to my property. Okay, all right, you get it with the peace. Okay. Peace, the piece of armor number 4 is Ephesians 6. It says, above all, taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all of the fiery darts. Okay. Let's put that up there. All right. All righty. Now, this is a defensive piece of armor. It protects you. Okay? And the attack that comes in your life is to attack your believing. Your believing. The attack is to attack your believing. Okay. So you're such a good student of the Word over here, and you're studying, and you go, oh my gosh, this is awesome. I'm going to believe God's Word for my life. And I was, you know, lightnings go off, and I get it. So I'm like, I am convinced that's what's mine. Doesn't it feel like all hell breaks loose the next day? Oh, my gosh. Why? Because the attack is to steal your believing. Right? Now, I don't know where I am here. Let's see. Get it. All right. So. What is believing? Well, this is called the faith shield. the faith shield, right? All right. Faith is what you believe. Faith is what you're persuaded into. That is like my simple 2-second definition teaching. Okay? Faith is what you believe. Faith is what you're persuaded into. So, if you sit and watch news all day, CNN, Fox, whatever, and they're just, they don't really have happy news, do they? And you watch that, all that negative stuff, all right? Guess what? You're going to start believing it. You're just going to start panicking, especially watch that. There's a flash flood warning and okay? You'll start believing it. You'll start believing it. Okay, so faith is what you believe. Faith, everybody believes something. You believe all sorts of things. You believe your wife's going to make lunch for you afterwards, right? Or better yet, you're taking her out. You believe that. You believe stuff. We all believe stuff. Okay, but there's good stuff to believe. Now, please write this down. Faith comes by what I believe. Faith comes by what I believe. Faith is what I believe. And faith is released by what I say. That was so good, Pastor D. Say that again. I had to write this down. I kept rewriting it, so I was like tickled myself. Okay. Faith comes by what I believe. By what I believe. Faith comes, or rather, faith is what I believe, and faith is released. Released by what I say. So, how many of you have said stuff you wish you didn't? All right. A couple years ago, I want to make it a long time ago, but it was really a couple years ago. Cassie was home living with me. It was after she graduated. That's right. And we're driving around running around, and she goes, "Man, you're kind of negative." What? And it wasn't like you think, but what I was saying, it was always the glass is half empty. She nailed me. The glass is half empty. You're kind of negative. So I thought I'd do a monitor situation. Anybody ever, don't raise your hand, you know how to wear those monitors for testing your heart or something like that? So I did a monitor for a couple of days. Anybody ever monitor their words? Well, I did, and I found out, that wasn't so good. I wasn't so good what I was saying. What I was saying. I'm still working on it, okay? All right? So here's the deal. Faith comes by what you hear. Faith is released by what you say. So guess what you have to watch out? What you say. What you hear and what you say. What you hear and what you say. What you hear and what you say. Because Satan wants to steal your faith. Yeah, pretty simple. Okay, now, how do I put on this shield of faith? I soak myself in the Word of God every day. Not when I run into an attack. Now, God is merciful, and you can start saying things in the middle of attack, but just imagine if every day you're in the soaking. You're soaking yourself in the Word of God. And listen, the Apostle Paul said you're going to have an attack. You're going to have lots of attacks, but if I have daily soaked myself in the Word of God and I am reading this, Isaiah 53:4, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew 8:17, basically, with Jesus' stripes, I'm healed. I do that every day. Because I found out, this is really funny. No, it isn't. But as I get older, more things start hurting. I don't know why. Because I'm not exercising. But, okay. So I really do this regularly about my body. Seems like I get one thing hurting and the other thing, something, I get that better and stuff. So I'm regularly saying this, and I will say that with the stripes that Jesus bore on the cross for me, he carried my sins and sicknesses and diseases away, and I am the healed, whether I feel it or not. Amen. Whether it says, ouchie, 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 I'd still go, no, all right? So that's how you apply, you put on this armor. You put it on. Put it on. Everybody say, put it on. You put it on, all right? Listen, there's so much more I could tell you about faith. Go to our bookstore. We have 10 zillion books. I love to exaggerate. Books about faith. All right? And Satan wants to attack your faith to finally just go, I'm not doing nothing. All right? Okay, piece number seven, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. Okay, this is made for a little kid. The helmet of salvation. The attack is to give you negative thoughts in your brain. The attack will be to put negative thoughts in your thinking. All right? And this is a defensive piece, so they don't come club you over the head. All right? So I got to take this thing off because that just doesn't feel good. All right, so the attack will put is getting negative thoughts into your brain. Now, anybody have negative thoughts? We all have negative thoughts, all right? Probably, maybe you heard that your company is laying off, and your brain just starts thinking, oh, my gosh, I know I'm next on the list. Okay, that's a negative thought. That's not a positive thought, all right? Oh, my birthday. Oh, my gosh, this is the year I turned 55. Oh, everybody, every man in my family for three generations drops dead at 55 to 60. Okay, negative thought. It just starts taking over your brain, okay? Now, I don't know who said this. I've heard it for years. You can't stop the birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest. You have those thoughts. Okay, those thoughts. One of those thoughts that I battled for a long time, there was an attack on my mind, is my mom passed away at 58, 59. And she died when I was 29. So from there to there, especially in the beginning, that was a thought. You're going to die before you reach 60 because your mom died. Of such and such before you, it was a battle. You know, the first couple years, it was a constant thing. Finally got this word into me, and I hadn't thought about it for years until I turned 60. I thought, devil, you know, but it didn't freak me out for the, it took a while. Those thoughts, they were real thoughts, okay? But I would say what God said. With long life, I would satisfy you and show you my salvation, all right? And then I realized, like, 15 years, I hadn't even thought about it. So it was one of those reasons I was celebrating 60. But anyway. Okay, so where is the attack? Your mind. So what do you have to put on? Why? Don't you love little two-year-olds? Why? Why? Because you have to protect this mind of yours. You have to protect this mind of yours. Don't you want to protect your mind? All right? You don't want to be crazy. You want to protect your mind. Okay? So how do I do it? I put on the word of God. All right? Romans 12, by renewing your mind daily, especially when you know there's an attack. That was a real attack in my life. My mom died early. You're going to die early. You're going to get the same thing. That was real. So I put on the armor, the helmet of salvation, the word of God, for a long time, all the time, whenever that thought. And then finally I was like, get out of here, devil. You know, that's not attack, so you can do that. All right, let me see. Hey, did you kind of notice that everything has to do with this belt, the word of God? Everything has to do with this word, the belt. It has to be in place first. Aren't that interesting? I thought it was interesting. All right. Now, let me talk about this one here. Sometimes we don't think negative thoughts. We just have thoughts. Like somebody's probably thinking, when is she done? I want to go out to eat. Okay? That's not so bad. Or, oh my gosh, you're sitting there thinking, next week we go on vacation. We go on vacation. You're not listening to me. Okay? All right. Or, oh, gosh, the dang rain, I was going to go home. You're not listening to me. Go home and take care of the yard work. Okay, not every thought is a negative thought. Okay, but if you let those thoughts come in, more will come in. More will come in. And this is Dee's, I think the Bible calls it an unbridled mind. I call it lazy brains. If you don't, now, you're supposed to be paying attention to me in service, okay? So, but if you're thinking all these other thoughts, that brain is leading you. And you need to tell it, hey, I'm paying attention to the Word of God, because otherwise you will get flooded. If you don't know how to take grip of all the thoughts, you'll get flooded and you just end up down the toilet. Sherry says, Mom, you shouldn't talk potty talk. I was like, whatever. But you get it. You get it. It just snowballs out of control. And I see people, they just go, well, it wasn't really a bad thought. And then the next day, another thought, another thought, another thought. And they're just off course. All right? So it is important. Because this mind that we have is the mind of Christ, and it has peace in it. Right? Do you have the mind of peace? Yeah. All right. So if you put the Word in your life daily, you will have peace. Got to watch all the thoughts. Okay? You'll have peace. And guess what? When that happens, your whole perspective of how you see things is just so much better. And then you have peace. It's kind of, all right. All right. Number six, the sword of the Spirit. The sword of the Spirit. Okay. This is definitely an offensive. Okay. All right. And this piece has the ability to cut, to wound, and to hurt our enemy. All right. So the sword of the Spirit. One commentary says it's the word coming out of your mouth. And if you look it up, it's the rhema, the spoken word coming out of your mouth. So real simply, you have to be vocal in your attack. You're going to get attacked. You have to be vocal. You have to say things out of your mouth, okay? And not speaking, if you are not, you know, what's that thing? Play possum? If you're not speaking, you're going to be in big trouble. Okay? I'm just going to pretend it's not here. That's not the right kind of speaking. Okay? You have to say something. Mark Hankins, we've got about three of his books in the bookstore. He's got a great one about the blood and a story about David and Goliath. And he said this, don't ever run at your mountain, your battle, your attack. Don't ever run at your mountain with your mouth shut. What's that mean? When you have problems, mountains, trials, potholes, things in your life, you got to move your mouth. You have to say something, okay? You have to say what God says. It's more than something. You have to say what God says. Okay, so you need to speak the word. Speak God's word, okay? And things will begin to change. Anybody know that to be true? Things change. Okay, so but listen, you have to say something. All right, last piece. This is one I wanted to get to. The last one is prayer. It's found in Ephesians 6:18. And let's see. I should read that. Here we go. Praying always with all prayers and supplications. This is an offensive piece of armor. This book here that we read, Rick Rayner, he read this over and over, and he dissects the Greek, the Hebrew, and whatever else, and he just goes ridiculous. But he said prayer was part of the armor. So I read all this, and I thought, by golly, I think he's right. And he gives the armor a name, even though it doesn't say a specific piece, and he calls it the lance of prayer, or a spear. Okay. So this is my painting pole. It's the best I could do. Okay, this is a lance. They come in different sizes. But listen, this is an offensive piece of armor. And when the Roman soldiers threw it, it could go a long distance towards the enemy. So the enemy could be Dave Siegel in the back. And if I was really good and I loved all of you, and I'd throw this, I'd nail them, okay? Okay, they could aim something at a distance, something at a distance with these lances, all right? So what's that have to do with me and prayer? Well, number one, I found out prayer is important. It's more than God is good, God is great, thank you for your food, okay? It's more than, Father God, open my wife's eyes to see how great I am, and she needs to let me buy a big boat. That is a prayer, okay? But it's more. There's more to prayer than that. Matter of fact, it says there's all kinds of prayers. And I could probably list seven of them, but we're not going to get to it. But I just want to tell you, prayer's important. And what makes it so important, if you visualize this lance, prayer. I'm looking at Eric laughing. I can't even think what I was going to say. Okay. Gee whiz. Okay, where was I? Oh, is prayer, the lance of prayer, you can throw it at an attack that may be coming, that may be coming down the road. And you can stop it. Okay? But you have to be vocal again. You have to say something. You have to say stuff, all right? Let me think. Again, example. Just think, if you were going through something and through prayer you could stop an attack. How about, just think if you brought prayer, God's word, prayer, into the situation with your spouse, you could stop an attack. Just think, now remember, this could go a long distance. And so I live in York. I got a kid who lives in California. Just think, I could pray, and just like that, I can stop an attack. That's prayer. James 5, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. It's like the power, dunamis power, is available to you through prayer. Just think. All right, so could you imagine that God can do something through prayer? I do. All right. Listen, you were not put on this planet to get beat up. You were put on this planet to be protected and to take ground. So what would happen? What would happen? How would your life look a little bit different if you put this armor on? Would your life be different? Okay. How about if tomorrow you got up in the morning and you got assaulted with all kinds of crazy thoughts and, you know, it takes the breath away. How about if you got up and you grabbed your Bible? How would your life be? A whole lot better, right? How about if you just gathered your family together just for a few minutes, got the word out and read something, and then you all prayed? How would your life look? How would your life look? Well, I should say, how's it look right now? But don't answer that, all right? Okay, would your life look different? Would this church look different? Would your community look different? Would your schools look different? Would this nation look different? All right, so if we start, can you imagine, if we start praying the power of God in these situations of our life, would life look different? I think so. How many know so? All right. All right, this is what we're going to do. If you have to leave, you can leave. Just sneak out. But don't you say any word. But if you can stay, let's pray. Let's pray. Yes, Bob. Yeah, yeah, come on up. Yep, you got it. I had a mic somewhere.
I'll speak up. Says 19 and 20.
Oh, yeah. That's good.
Because Pastor D is too humble to ask for this for herself, but we need to do this for our pastors. Can you see him? And for Pastor, that utterance may be given unto her, that she may open her mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel.
Amen.
When we come, pray this, that we hear from God. Verse 20, for which she is an ambassador in chains. She has willingly placed herself in this position. Don't forget that and honor her, that it may be that she may speak boldly as she ought to speak. There's been complaints people have left this church because they said they weren't getting fed. I say shame on them, because it is. They didn't come praying this prayer demanding to hear from God. They came looking to hear from her, and that's our fault, not her fault. You want to help this body and see it grow? Pray this prayer consistently. That's just an encouragement.
Amen. Okay. Thanks. So, I'm going to start in prayer. I don't know what's going on in your life. One time I visited a brethren church. You know what they do so well? They hit the knees. They hit the floor. They had prayer at the end. And I was like, what are they all doing? But you know what? There was an atmosphere of knowing that they were going to their Father God and things were going to change. So if you want to hit the floor, if you can't kneel because of things, fine. If you want to come up front, okay, to kneel, I'm going to pray. But I'm just going to launch out in some things, and then let's take over as you can quietly leave you if you want to, but could you believe that God would come in like a flood to your life, to things that matter big in your life? I got a lot of things that matter big in my life, and God would change things in prayer. I do. Okay. So, Father God, I just come to you right now. You can put on light, light, light. I thank you that you've given us everything for life. You've given us your word. And Father, we see that this word is center. Everything hooks onto it. And we're going to come praying your word. We're not praying the problem. We're praying your word. And we know that you hear our cry and that your word, you move on your word. You respond to your word. You act on your word. So we are going to let this powerful words out of our mouth. And we know things change and will not return void. So let's, you know, the dearest thing to anybody is their family. So let's pray for families. Father, we come to you right now. Lift up our families. Father, we thank you that for the spouses that are godly. I thank you, Father, that you continue to, they continue to hunger and thirst for more of you. I thank you, Father, that you give them words in the night season for praying for our family. I thank you for the spouses that are walking with you. Father, we lift up our families if we have any members that are far, far from you. Some of those have been taught the word. And the Bible says, great is the peace of my children, for they are taught of the Lord. And I call those words to stir up again in family members who have been taught the word of the Lord, that they'd rise up and they'd speak in their ears and they would depart like the prodigal and they'd return to the Father. Take authority over deceptions and that lies and things that have been twisted and shame and say, oh, but I've done so much, I could not go back to my Father. Take authority over that lie in Jesus' name. And we say that they will remember who's their Father, whose they are, and where they are. We lift up family members that don't know you, that have never had their eyes open. We pray, God, that their eyes would be open, that they might see, might know, might hear, might understand that you are God. And they'd cry out and say, God, if you're real, I need to know. My life hurts. My life is hard. And I thank you that you'd open their eyes and you'd send faithful people, people who are big in love, not in condemnation, but big in love, that they would show them your love and they would meet my Savior. I say that in Jesus' name. Father, does anybody have something they want to toss out in prayer? Okay. Father, I thank you for, you know, this is a good one. I thank you for our employers and employees. Some of you are the employer. Some of you are employees. I thank you for my workplace. I thank you, Father, that you have empowered me, filled me with you. And I will be from now on a giver of peace. I will shine and I will lead people to you just by my actions. I will walk in integrity. I will be the best of the best for my employer, for really Jesus, my employer, in Jesus' name. Father, we lift up our nation. We thank you for our president. We thank you, Father, that you've placed him there. I will not curse him and criticize him, but I will thank you and I declare that his ears open. You surround him with godly men and women. Father, I pray for his family, his girls, his wife too, that they would have people come and shine, that he might know who is the one and only God, and his heart would receive you and would be softened and changed, that he could lead this country in a godly way. And we call our country blessed, Father, in Jesus' name. We're not, you know, going down the toilet. We're calling it blessed. Blessed. And there's a turn, Father. Christians rising up, being who they are, not in fear. We take authority over fear. Fear of what somebody's going to think, Father, but we walk in wisdom, so we have no fear. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you. I thank you, Father. I thank you, Father, for the people who call this their church. I thank you, Father, that they planted and they flourish. They're planted. Their roots go deep, Father, and you are causing them to flourish, Father. And no more lookers and tasters and lookers, Father. I thank you for people committed, Father, to serve you. It's not about serving a person, me. It's about serving you. And I thank you that you have deposited gifts into each one. Oh my, the gift that you have is so mighty and valuable and precious. And I thank you that we use our gifts for your glory. In Jesus' name, thank you. Hallelujah, praise God. And Holy Spirit, we always welcome you in this place. You lead the pack. We just follow. Thank you. Thank you. I thank you, Father, that we are knitted together in love like never before. Just like a new layers and layers and layers that knit us together in love. And that we watch, we are the watchmen on the wall. And we do pray because we stand on the wall and you tell us things ahead of time. You wake us up. I give you permission to wake us up and talk to us, to wake us up and tell us ahead of time of an attack that's trying to come. And we will be faithful men and women on the wall with eyes to see and going after that attack immediately. And it will not take down. It will not steal. It will not destroy. It will not divide. In Jesus' name, we are watchmen. Thank you. And I thank you, Father, that we get it. We get how powerful your word is and how powerful prayer is in your word. And we gather together at a drop of a hat. Hey, let's pray. Let's pray because, God, that's what we do first. In Jesus' name. Anybody have something that you need us to stand with you on prayer? Hey, we're family. You can just blurt it out. Amen. I want to pray about, we got kids going to camp. And I've got one little boy that's going, and it's always touch and go if he's going to make it. Actually, I have two. And we just pray that nothing hinders. Camp is not great food, let me tell you. They got a lot of it, but it's about connecting with one another. It's about seeing God who he is and how much he loves them and just turning them inside out and making them strong. It's like a tempering. There's a pounding that'll go on, a good pounding, and these kids will be changed. And I got these two little boys, and Satan has tried to steal from them coming. So can we pray for them, all right? Father, I lift up these two boys. I don't want to name names and stuff, but we declare that the blood of Jesus surrounds them, protects them. We say that they will go, and they will hear, and they will be so changed from the inside out that they will not again take steps backwards, but they will go always forward because you are doing something great and mighty in their life. And we just take authority over the enemy that would cause sickness to come on them, cause whatever stuff to prevent it in Jesus' name. And we have the victory in Jesus' name. Thank you. All righty. I love to pray. I could keep you here for 5 hours. Okay? I just kind of go off into it. But I love you so much, I'm looking to let you go home. So how many people know they have armor? How many people know how to put it on? All right. Okay. So the attacks come in life, but we have been made more than conquerors. Amen. That's who you are. Amen. Amen. All right. I love you always, big time. Have a great day. I have elders meeting downstairs. What am I supposed to do? Youth tonight? Ugh. Amen. Okay. Thank you.